The following audio is from the First Baptist Church of Salisbury. The purpose of the Salisbury First Baptist family is to intimately know Christ and increasingly make Him known through authentic worship, intentional nurture, spirited fellowship, and compassionate witness in our community and around the world. More information about First Baptist Church is available at www.fbcsalisbury.org.
Thank God for His presence with us today. Things look a little different up here. You ain't seen nothing yet. Children, right grammar, we haven't seen anything yet, right? Next Sunday, there'll be a bigger difference made up front. We appreciate all of you that will be remaining after the service for a quick bite to eat, and then we'll begin to work to construct the living Christmas tree. Work has been going on all the time with rehearsals and preparation and all the 1,001 details that have to be done. Continue to pray. If you don't have somewhere to serve or haven't been asked to help, don't wait. I'm sure there's a spot where you can be used in the next few weeks. We're going to jump right into our scripture lesson this morning because I want us to have plenty of time to look at a portion of scripture you're very familiar with. Somebody after the early service told me that Pastor Brian preached on this about 2 years ago. It's good that they remember a sermon 2 years later. But let's stand as we honor God's word from Luke chapter 17. We'll begin reading with verse 11. Luke chapter 17, we'll begin reading verse 11. Now, as on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the man, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Father, thank you for the example of this man. I pray, Lord, in whatever, Lord, spiritual condition, whatever attitude, whatever emotions, whatever the situations and circumstances of lives may have been as we entered this place of worship this morning, I pray that each one of us would have an encounter with the living Lord Jesus, and that before this service is over, we would respond in faith to Him, and we would hear Him say to us personally, "Rise and go out to live life for me. Your faith has made you whole." In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This temple story teaches us much that we each can apply as we come to observe Thanksgiving and celebrate that special holiday this week, but also as we come as believers, followers of Jesus Christ, to observe communion together this morning. In this story, we see that Jesus responds to human needs. That's the story of the New Testament, isn't it? Jesus responds to human needs, and we ought to give thanks because He does. The Bible tells us He was headed to Jerusalem. He was entering a village, and even before He got into the village, He encountered 10 men who were lepers. They could not have been in the village itself. But entering the village, He heard men at a distance crying out to Him, "Help us! Help us!" Now, these people that were asking for Jesus' help, for His pity, these lepers, in effect, were walking dead men. They were walking dead men. There was no cure for their disease. They were separated by their illness from family and friends. Their fellowship was limited to others who shared their common plight. No one wanted anything to do with a person who had leprosy. They were shunned, not like they had the plague, But they were shunned because they really did have the plague. And people would not go near them. They kept their distance. And so notice how Jesus responded to these men and their plea. Luke tells us when he saw them. Underline those words if you're keeping notes today. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Go show yourselves to the priest. Now read between the lines a little bit here. Jesus didn't just see these lepers with his eyes. He looked at them and he saw them with his heart. He saw them with his heart and he responded to their pitiful condition with tangible help, with compassion for their need. Say with me this morning, Jesus sees me. Let's add a little bit to it. Jesus sees me as I really am. And each one of us ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you respond to my need. It's in spite of the reality of my life, my sins, my shortcomings, my needy condition, you respond to my need." Jesus responds to those today, just like he did then. When he sees us, he responds with love and compassion. He wants to meet your needs today. And thank him that he looks beyond your faults and he responds to your greatest need. We also see in this story that we can give thanks for the fact that Jesus blesses faith. Jesus always blesses faith. Did Jesus heal these men right there on the spot that quick? No, he could have. But notice what he does. Jesus instead made healing available to them through a test of faith. Jesus made healing available to these men through a test of faith. He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Why those instructions? For very simple reason. It was the priest who could look at you and examine you and say, "You are free from leprosy. You are clean. You are able to worship with other followers of God in the synagogue. You are able to associate with your family and friends at home and in the community. You are free to return to a normal life." Hallelujah. The priest was the one who did that. So Jesus didn't say, "You're healed," but he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Why else would he tell them that if they were not at least going to be healed? And so the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. Those are three important words. As they went. What were they doing? They were responding to the command of Jesus with faith. They weren't healed the moment that they believed, but they were healed as they acted on their faith, as they added to their faith a tangible demonstration of their faith. As they went, they were healed. James tells us, faith without works is what? So you or I, we can say we have faith all day long, but if that faith we claim to have does not demonstrate itself in the way that we act, the way that we respond to the voice of Jesus, the way he would move in our lives, if there are no actions associated with what we claim is real faith, we're only fooling ourselves. It's fake, phony faith. It's a cheap counterfeit for the real thing. And so as they went, as they responded in faith to the voice of Jesus, they were healed. These men hoped they could be healed. They trusted Jesus enough to begin to make their way to the priest. And as they went, they received their blessing. Can you imagine their delight that day? How they looked and all of a sudden, damaged hands that were wasting away began to become whole. Perhaps a bad place on the nose, and maybe some of us would say we wish our noses were smaller. But maybe their noses began to grow a little bit and return to normal size. And it was a blessing, and they were excited and they were thrilled at what Jesus had done for them. Today, thank God that He has blessed and is blessing your faith, even right now. I hope that's why you're here today. Because you feel the strength. As we sang that song, and many of you felt the emotion of that song and the power of that song. I pray it's because you know that Jesus is in you, with you, right now, blessing your faith in real, tangible ways. Thank the Lord that when you believed in your heart, as Paul puts it, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you didn't stop there. Because when you really, really believe that in your heart, then there's something tangible that's added to that. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you believe it with all of your being, you are going to do what? You're going to confess that Jesus is your Lord. You see, you believe that He is who the Bible claims He is. And your faith expresses itself in a tangible way. You might say, well, Pastor, nobody sees that when I'm saved inside my life, in my heart when I'm saved. Maybe not at that moment, but they're going to see it pretty soon after that. The Lord will make a difference in your life. Your life will confess that you have a new sheriff, a new boss in town. His name is Jesus. And you're going to follow Him. Faith that is real will express itself in tangible ways, and Jesus blesses that kind of faith. As you receive the Lord and He took residence in your life and you were baptized and you began to feel and sense and express His presence in your life, other people were blessed. I pray they're continuing to be blessed by the presence of Jesus in you. So church, when we gather, we ought to give praise to the One who has made this possible. This story teaches us also that we need to remember when blessings come to bless the giver of every blessing with our gratitude. We need to bless the giver of our blessing, every blessing, with our gratitude. That's exactly what this one Samaritan man did. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, wait a minute, weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? All 10 of the men had an opportunity to be healed. They all were. But all 10 of these men had the same opportunity to return and give thanks to Jesus. Why only one? Oh, that's the all too human tendency we see here. That when we get what we want, we forget about the One that made it possible and go on and do our own thing. But the one Samaritan man got it. To everyone here, to everyone listening to the sound of my voice, even those of you at home this morning, we all have the same opportunity to respond to the Word of God, to the voice of Jesus in our lives today. We all have the opportunity to receive a healing that only God can bring in these moments. We all also equally have that same opportunity to bow down, to get down on our knees and thank Jesus for what He has done for us. And not just in the past, what He's doing today, and what He's promised to continue to do on through eternity. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you thank the giver of every good and perfect gift? Will you then show Him your gratitude by the way that you live? There's one last lesson. Remember that a spirit of gratitude opens the door for even greater blessings. A spirit of gratitude opens the door for even greater blessings. Then Jesus said to the man, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Some translations say, "Your faith has healed you." King James translation says, "Your faith has made you whole." The word, the Greek word, is sozo. Sozo. That Greek word is translated most often, I mean, 10 times, more than that, 30 times the number of ways, well, healed, whole, each of them about 3 times. Saved, or saved you, 93 times that word is translated that way. Your faith has saved you. I suspect that Jesus was doing far more than stating the obvious. You can get up, you can go. Your faith has brought you this healing from your leprosy. The man already knew that. I think Jesus was responding to what this man was exhibiting, what he was demonstrating in his life. He had saving faith. The kind of faith when you receive it from Jesus and you receive the blessing that comes with saving faith, once, just going to Him once is not enough. You go to Him again and again and again, not to be saved. You don't need to be saved over and over again, but to return for a daily blessing of walking with the Lord and affirming, yes, Jesus, you were my King yesterday. You're still my King today. You'll be my King for eternity. I'm going to walk with you. The kind of faith that keeps you coming back and back for more, recognizing He's the Lord. He's the one that you serve. You're going to follow Him. Leprosy was the most dreaded physical condition of Jesus' day. But folks, being lost, not knowing the Savior, not belonging to Him, that's the most dreadful spiritual condition for eternity. We're gathered this morning to remember and to give thanks for Jesus' sacrificial death as He died on the cross for our sins to give us eternal life. How will you respond to His marvelous sacrifice today? I hope that we'll do what the psalmist said. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless His holy name. Will you bless the Lord today for His death on the cross, for your eternal salvation? Will you affirm anew your love for Him? And we're going to give many of you an opportunity to do that today. We're going to allow you and ask you, if you will, as the Lord touches you, to come and to stand in front of one of these two mics here at the front, and just to share with the congregation how the Lord has blessed you. But what we really want you to focus on is how He's blessed you by His death on the cross, by providing forgiveness for your sins, a new life, eternal life, a quality of life that other people do not know and have not received. Thanking Jesus for His unspeakable gift, His death on the cross, and eternal life for all who believe. Will someone come and do that? You might. We hope that you'll face the congregation. You may speak as a testimony to the congregation. You may offer a prayer directly to Jesus Himself and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. We ask so that many people have the opportunity to participate, that you keep it at 30 to 45 seconds at the max, 4 or 5 sentences, and allow the next person to speak. But we hope many of you will in these moments right now. Who will be the first to come up and begin to share? Don't wait for that person to finish. Keep coming to the mics so that you are ready to share. Don't wait for me to invite you. Come on down and stand in line in front of each of the mics. Kim, go ahead.
Came from. For so many years, I just relied really, truly on my own strength. But as good as I can possibly be is nothing compared to what God can do in me, what the power of the Holy Spirit can do in me. I realized all my insecurities and everything was really holding me back. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, anything is possible.
I want to praise God for answered prayer, for the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Many of you know that I have a beautiful niece named Rachel. Rachel was very lost in addiction and alcoholism for years, and we were so afraid she would die. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. He delivered her. She is clean and sober. And we are so very grateful because it's only by the power of God and His praying people, many of them in this church have prayed for her for a long time. And yesterday we got to celebrate her marriage to a precious young Christian man. So God has turned sorrow into joy.
I'm thankful to God for all the love He put in the people's hearts here at First Baptist. I was sicker than I even realized when I was in the hospital this last time. They removed a part of my colon, and I didn't know that there were even some back sits after that. But I could feel the prayers. I've heard people say that, but to actually feel them. And the way I felt them was that even when the doctor said some of the scariest things, I felt calm. I felt like, God, You really do have this in Your control. And I know that because I feel the prayers of Your people.
I thank God for this church and the people here at First Baptist. And I thank God for good health because, you know, His Son died for us. He gave His blood for us. But He's given me good health that I can continue to give platelets through the Red Cross that benefits some people that are going through a very difficult time in their life. And I just thank God for that because that is one of the joys of my life to be able to do that.
Thank you for all of you. Think about Patricia's, my niece, when she was in the hospital like 3 months ago. And I think about her all the time. And I love the church because I feel like you guys are amazing. And Matt, I like your singing. It's your moral confidence. And thank you, John. He's really good, Pastor John. He's faithful, loved. And I love you, all of you, because child of God is not chosen, but that way I am, think. And this morning, when I woke up, I saw Jesus again, like, bad times. And my hands shaking because I feel Jesus in my heart. And now I feel like you guys are my family. And I love my mom, too. Thanks.
I'm thankful to God for the church that I grew up in and for this church. Y'all have got me through good times and bad. And also grateful for my senior
intro.
Daughter.
Intro, 2, 3, 4. Let's sing.
Leslie, not everybody gets that special treatment for their testimony.
I'm not going to do anything but talk right now. And we'll see if I can do that. But anyway, a lot of you already know that on February the 8th, 2018, my husband died of a sudden heart attack. Those were tough times, those of you that have gone through something like that and lost loved ones suddenly. This church helped me through it. Friends helped me through it. Family did. And you would contact me daily, some of you daily. I got texts some mornings all the time, and they would ask how I was doing. Well, this one friend on April the 10th, contacted me. She said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm not doing good." My mornings were tough. I couldn't put my feet on the floor. And she said she had lost her husband a few years before. And she said, "I know what you mean. You feel like you're not in the pit. You feel like you're under the pit." I said, "Right." And she said, "Well, just try to get on up, get moving, and God's got this." Well, my devotion for that day was Psalm 40, verse 2, which said, and I was reading out of Curtis's Bible at that time because he would write things in the Bible. And he said, "I will bring you up out of the miry clay, and set your feet on the rock." And I said, "Oh, my gracious, God spoke to me that day." She said, "The pit," and God says, "The pit, I'm going to bring you up out of it." And in Curtis's handwriting above that verse in his book, in his Bible, he wrote, "Love lifted me." I said, "God, you lifted me up." And from that day forward, I mean, I'm not saying there's not been bad times, but I was able to move forward. So I thank God for friends and family and my church.
I'm thankful for Jesus dying for my sins and for my friends and family.
I want to thank God for First Baptist Church. Of course, many of you know I'm at Richie. I lost my mom my 11th year of high school. It was tough for me, but I got through it. I asked God as multiple times as I prayed. I also wanted to thank John and maybe you at the First Baptist Church for making me feel like home. Max, I love your dancing. You're really encouraging. Carl, amazing helper with me for choir. I admire you. I love you. I especially thank God for Maggie and Bonnie Fitzgerald for making me possible for me to come here. I just am totally grateful that I found you guys, and I love every single member of the church here, even though if you don't know me or God, but I'm just totally grateful and thank you.
Thank you guys for praying for me a lot with this pain I've been having trouble with. And I still have this pain, but I'm just glad that you still pray for me and trying to get this pain away from me for a day or two.
I guess while I'm up here, I might as well say something. I want to thank the Lord for delivering me from a religion of works and one of knowledge. It was really exhausting, and I have found that there's nothing more important than just worshiping the Lord in my heart, and that He loves me unconditionally, and I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. We've been studying in Bible study for the past several weeks about the Word of God, and I'm grateful that it was made real to me. It'll be 45 years on Tuesday that I was saved. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Church, for your love for me.
Amen.
I will not get through this without crying. Because I cannot thank God enough for what He's done in my life. He's brought me through a lot. He's made me stronger with every step of the way. I could not have done it without you. Prayers, friends, the uplifting thoughts and prayers that went out to me during my time of cancer. As most of you are probably like me, the first thing you hear is cancer. Oh, you know, but when I heard it, I had a peace that comes from nowhere but up there, heaven above. He rained down on me and gave me the peace.
that passes no understanding. And I thank him every day for the life he's given me, for the friends he's given me, and for all the blessings of my family. I just want to say thank you to God and thank you to you. Thank you, David.
Okay. I'm going to thank the friends and first Baptist for their friendship and the Lord for the many blessings he has bestowed upon me after I lost my mom because she was my basic support system. But since I'm joining the church, I've got a community of friends that I can call if I ever need anything. So I thank you.
Since Allison drugged me up here, I'm thankful for the church also. I'm also thankful for Allison and all our access friends. And I feel somewhat of an obligation to thank God for my health. And I'm also a platelet donor. But, Gary, I'm at One Blood and not the Red Cross, just to let you know. But it is. But Gary and I share a passion because it is. I made it a young age, I guess an oath with God, that as long as I had my health, I would donate. And, yeah, it's been great for me.
We've had an opportunity this morning to vocally and verbally express our thanks to the Lord Jesus for the life that he makes possible, for all that he's done for us. But everyone right now, before we conclude the service, you have an opportunity to give thanks, to bow down before him, and to thank him in your hearts as we come to celebrate communion together. As we do that this morning, will you make this a time of worship? Will you make this a time of confessing your faith and your dependence upon him? Would you confirm again in your heart that he's your Savior, your King? Will you not miss the blessing of expressing your blessing, your thanks to the one who has made it all possible through his death on the cross for our salvation? Let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together. That you looked beyond my faults and you saw my need above all else for a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to come to earth and be a man. And that you physically took the blows that I deserved. You, Lord, took the lashes. You allowed yourself to be nailed to a cross. And there you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my punishment. And because you were willing to die, I can live, truly live, now and forever. Jesus, I thank you for your body given for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from First Baptist Church of Salisbury. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.fbcsalisbury.org.